but brain. Hello, welcome back to Brain Lemonade. We are going to have an explosive conversation today.
Super.
Because
explosive.
Something like ignited the internet for some reason. You guys are weird. But Barbenheimer was a big thing. Yes, Barbenheimer. And it's because Barbie and Oppenheimer came out together.
On the same day.
On the same day, on the same night, on a full moon.
And since we're talking about this in 2024, we definitely did not double feature Barbenheimer.
Right. No, we didn't.
We just kind of.
We should have.
We could have.
I don't know if we could have. We should have.
Should have. But at the same time, I hate to admit this, but I'm losing the joy of going to movie theaters a little bit.
Just uncomfortable sometimes.
Yeah.
Stanky. Yeah. But I mean, we're slowly getting there. We're going to see stuff that we like now.
Right. I think it's not, like, not enjoying the movie. It's other people that suck. So.
Well.
Anyways.
We'll start with the first one. The Barbie movie.
Barbie.
Barbie.
Hey, Barbie.
Let's see. It was PG-13. IMDb gave it a 6.9 out of 10. I think you can watch it on Max right now.
I think
Or Prime Video. Stars Margot Robbie as Barbie and Ryan Gosling as Ken. That's what I'll tell you now. It was directed by Greta Gerwig, and she also wrote it with Noah Baumbach. Baumbach?
Baumbach.
I think it's Baumbach, yeah. Barbie and Ken are having the time of their lives in the colorful and seemingly perfect world of Barbie Land. However, when they get a chance to go to the real world, they soon discover the joys and perils of living among humans. And literally, if that's all you want to know about it, that's all you need. There isn't any other kind of explanation that you need that's like the best kind of straight up. That's what the Barbie movie was. It was hilarious. It was funny. I love the concept. I love the art scenes, the changing of the clothes all the time because she's a Barbie.
Yeah. You know?
So.
And I think I saw that like most of the sets were practical,
which
is awesome.
Yeah. I mean, obviously Barbie Land was all drawn. Like they just did everything and that's just awesome. It was really cool. I believe the world had a pink shortage after this movie or
that's
in
the
making
said.
Of this movie. But I believe it. You know, I believe everything was like in some way, shape, or form a pink color. But yeah, you got Margot Robbie as Barbie, Ryan Gosling as Ken, you got Issa Rae as Barbie, and then you got Kate McKinnon as Barbie, you have Alexandra Shipp as Barbie. Emma McKee as Barbie. You have Hari Neff as Barbie. You got Sharon Rooney as Barbie. Dua Lipa as, you guessed it, Barbie. you also have, let's see, John Cena as Ken. You got Kingsley Benadire as Ken. You got Scott Evans as Ken.
You get the picture.
They're not even gonna let us like look at the rest of the cast.
Right. I was trying to find because
Michael Cera as Alan.
As Alan.
And then you got America Ferrara as the character. Is it Gloria? And then that new girl who's been going around because she plays Ahsoka, young Gamora, and
basically any young female alien.
But you got Ariana Greenblatt, who just came out in the trailer of Borderlands 1, the movie, as Tiny Tina. And then also in this, Helen Mirren is the narrator. Will Ferrell's the CEO of Barbie. And I guess that's what I can say for now, just so I don't keep going down the list of everyone who played Barbie in
Ken.
But yeah, I thought it was great. The story, yeah, just Barbie's living her life one day, and then something changes, and she doesn't know why, and she kind of likes it, and she want to kind of see what's going to keep happening, so she...
What else is out there?
So, what else is out there? And Ken, who's absolutely in love with her and can't think for himself, goes with her and finds himself, ultimately. He finds out that he could still be a man, but he still loves Barbie.
Yeah, I feel like... I don't know. I feel like we might have different points of view on this movie a little bit.
No, I'm not saying anything in particular, okay?
I know.
I'm just saying, like, that's kind of what it seems like.
I know.
It's up for interpretation. I'm not on anyone's side here.
There's no sides.
I'm a mutual ground person.
It's just reality.
It's just reality, yeah. I forgot to look up Barbie on Rotten Tomatoes. But, oh, 88% and 83%. So overall, we liked it. It's labeled a comedy with a little bit of adventure, I guess.
Yeah.
What is your take then?
I mean,
obviously Ken gets destructive. I wasn't pointing out anything.
I know. But like, just the fact, like, Barbie goes to the real world and thinks it's going to be like Barbie Land where everything is great and perfect, and she realizes that the real world, especially for women, is kind of shitty. Yeah. And like, just the fact that I don't want to spoil anything, but like, just all the shit that like she didn't realize that we all put up with.
That women put up with,
and like, Barbie was this like icon of. You can be and do whatever you want. I mean, she still is. But she doesn't... Barbie doesn't magically take away all of our societal problems. I'm trying not to get emotional.
But it also, you know, it also teaches you to be your own woman.
Right. And I think... there was... America Ferrera had... I think she had a really good monologue of like... Be pretty, but not too pretty. Be nice, but not too nice. Be strong, but don't be a bitch. Like, all these things that, like, every single day, every single minute, like, women like, have that in our head. Just so you know, we have that in our head all the time.
Right.
Like, that we need to do this so we don't come across as this or whatever. And it's just, like, the way that they put that into words was really... cool.
They put it into words, and they show you, obviously, put it, you through America Ferrera's memories of, and her job, and her all, and all that you see.
Like, her life
as a
woman that lives in the real world.
In the real world, yeah.
Not Barbie Land.
And then...
The fact that Ken just kind of gets his world, like, flipped upside down because
men get treated different
or
get treated better, and then takes that back to Barbie Land and basically starts
a civil war, right? And
that's probably the best part.
It's just pretty crazy. I think, I don't know, people that didn't necessarily like it probably didn't get it,
right?
They thought it was Barbie and princess and let's Barbie.
Yeah.
But it was, I think, a way bigger message than that.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, the good thing is it's here forever.
Yeah.
And hopefully the generation of girls to come that watch this, or women or girls, whatever. I was saying little girls who are just like, put on the Barbie movie and don't really get it yet.
Right.
You know, but.
Like, I'd understand a 9-year-old to not get it.
Obviously. Yeah. Well, you know, I don't. Be awesome if she did.
It'd be awesome if she did. So,
like,
right.
But, I'm saying, like, I'd understand if a 5-year-old was watching it and didn't get it, you know, just liked it for Barbie and its colorful.
Pretty colors, yeah.
Yeah.
But, sorry.
No, you're okay. I know.
It's
a big topic.
It's a big topic.
And so is both these movies, and that's kind of why it was labeled as Barbenheimer.
Right. You know? And I feel like, I don't know. I don't want to say anything that would offend anybody, but that's just how I interpreted the movie, mm-hmm. I guess.
Right.
And I feel like...
You know, I'm not... I didn't... No, I know. That's not what I was getting
no,
at.
No, I know. I just, didn't like, understand. Okay. Didn't want to not just not say anything.
Right. Because
sometimes I just nod and agree with a lot of movies and not say a lot of stuff, but...
Right.
You know, as a girl who's having a baby girl, these things are, you know...
On your mind.
On my mind.
Yeah,
extra important.
Yeah. Part of me, if there would ever be a sequel, that would be awesome. I just don't know what you'd do.
I don't know what they do either. That's
like,
a good
that's
thought.
That's the problem. It's just like, the only other story that shouldn't be done right now is Ken's, I guess. But at the same time, it's like, if you want to see what happened to Barbie after she left, I mean, you could kind of figure it out yourself.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
I was going to say, like, if they made a Ken movie, it would just be another Barbie movie.
It'd just be like Barbie but flipped.
Right.
I don't know. That's the hard part, you know? It's like, how can you really sequel it without, like, selling out your message?
Right.
But, I mean, you can always, like, empower women, too.
Yeah.
So that's what I don't know how to handle, I guess, a sequel.
Right. I don't think...
Glad it's not my job.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
It looks like, according to their Wikipedia, that there's, like, not even a tab for, like, sequel stuff.
Okay, that's good. I mean, I think it should be what it is.
It's a good standalone movie.
It's got the message.
Yeah.
Now it's there. Like, I don't want to beat it.
Right.
But, yeah.
That's... And I hope that it, like, I mean, to some extent, I hope that it opens up the door for other... I know that they were, like, joking, like, oh, we're going to make an Uno movie and, like... A slinky movie and stupid stuff like that.
That's
but,
not a Barbie, though.
I know. But, like, you can make a G.I. Joe.
They already made a G.I. Joe. And Transformers. You want to keep going?
Cabbage Patch. Is there a live-action Cabbage Patch movie?
Is there a live-action Cabbage Patch movie, you guys?
Because I feel like that would be nightmare fuel. Those, like, little chubby cheeks. I didn't
you
like
all
Cabbage
humans.
Patch.
All humans out there.
They would have to be a Cabbage Patch, Garbage Pail Kid
yeah.
mashup for it to be okay.
Well, I mean, the only way to do both would probably be to make the movie about both.
Right. What about a Monopoly movie?
That's everyday life.
That's true.
That's every crime movie.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right. When you're right, you're right.
Trouble. That's every other dramatic TV show.
Getting into trouble.
Guess Who? That's what Blind Date TV shows.
I guess you've already cornered this. I was like, thought I was gonna come in with like a really good idea, and you're like, nah,
get at me, y'all. I'll make it happen. Will I?
Right, you will.
Mousetrap, they got that movie already. But that'd be a fun TV show.
That would be like a game show.
Well, the Mouse Hunt movie as a TV show, but with the Mouse Hunt
game
rules, kind of like every episode is a different way that they try to catch the mouse.
Interesting.
That'd be actually kind of fun.
That'd be kind of fun, yeah.
If you got the right, like you gotta say there's two people who own the property and they're living there trying to fix it up with this mouse.
Yeah.
But every episode would be like a trap to you that they used on the game board.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, we went to a different topic there.
I brought it upon us, I'm sorry.
No, you're okay. Let's hop open to... Oh, trivia. Yeah, trivia.
Okay. So if you ever played with Barbies as a kid or as an adult, I'm not judging. Barbie is like 23% larger than everything in Barbie Land, which makes sense because I remember playing with Barbie in like her bed and her car and her like dream house. Like she almost looked gigantic in her house.
Right.
So it's cool that they kept that. And why, like, her head is, like, way above the car when she's driving.
Uh-huh.
According to Ryan Gosling, he accepted the role of Ken after seeing his daughter's Ken doll laying down, face down in the mud next to a squished lemon. And then he took a shot of the doll and the lemon and sent it to Greta and saying, I'll be your Ken. His story must be told.
Nice.
All the actors that played Ken worked out in the same gym every morning to establish and maintain their bond and competitiveness.
I was going to say, as long as they like hyped each other up all the time, that's the probably the best part.
Yeah. In early concept for the film, all the Barbies had like their fingers were connected. Because that's how they are for real Barbies. And it didn't look good on camera. So they're like, you know, they're going to have normal people hands. I think is a good move.
Yeah.
Margot Robbie also revealed that she found an old bucket list of goals, with one of them being meet Ryan Gosling. So there you go. Michael Cera, who plays Alan, is Ken's best friend, was introduced in 1964. His girlfriend turned wife, Midge. So Alan and Midge get married. We're both characters canonically married in the 1990. Nice. They dated for 30 years. Almost 30 years. Jeez, playing the long game there, Alan. Slash from Guns N' Roses plays backing guitar for I'm Just Ken on the soundtrack.
Let's not even bring up that song right now. We listen to it so much, and then the covers of it, and then the parodies of it.
Right.
The I'm Just Pete, the Pete Davidson cover. Damn, we listened to those so many times.
Margot wore 18 wigs and 30 hair pieces throughout the film. On average, guess how much each wig cost?
$1,800.
No.
I don't know.
$40,000.
Damn.
That's nuts.
Jeez. I mean...
And 2 weeks after it was in theaters, Barbie got the distinction of becoming the first ever billion-dollar film solely directed by a female director.
Nice.
So good on Greta.
Oh, yeah. Let's move over to the movie that's been labeled as the best movie of the decade.
Century? Like 100 years.
I'm sorry. We watched this movie. We sat through the 3 hours. That's how long this Oppenheimer is. The story of American scientist J. Robert Oppenheimer and his role in the development of the atomic bomb. Directed by Christopher Nolan. I don't think it's the movie of the century. I thought it was good, you know. It literally told the story that you needed to hear, needed to see, and that was in the background.
Right.
And, I mean, the shots, the way it was told, the acting was great.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Not movie of the century.
I don't know, like...
Not movie of the century.
I get them saying that, but then I'm trying to think, I'm like, what movie would be better? What True. Movie would I say is movie of the century?
True, because I'm not going to say, like, Dune or anything like that.
What?
No offense, Dune.
Right.
I just thought, I mean, like, for everything that it had and the progress of the story and how it was told, the interviews on... talking to Cillian Murphy playing Robert Oppenheimer was incredible, but I just don't think it would be, but that doesn't mean I don't think that this was a great movie and that I wouldn't ever watch it again.
Right. It was well written, well shot, well acted.
It looked like great. Yeah, like
we waited until it was streaming.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I could not imagine those explosion scenes in IMAX.
Right.
Or, like, even in a regular theater. Because it was, like, busting up our
theater, yeah.
Yeah. I can't imagine. I would probably just be, like, shaking in my chair.
Yeah, we had to move our subwoofer around to get it into a good spot without it rattling something.
Yeah.
Top rated movie at number 85, nominated for 13 Oscars.
Wow.
Let's see. Writers were Christopher Nolan, Kai Bird, and Martin Sherwin. Cillian Murphy played Robert Oppenheimer. Emily Blunt, Matt Damon were co-stars. Not to mention Robert Downey Jr., who won an award for his portrayal of Louis Strauss.
So many.
Yeah, there's so many people. Like, that's why we were like, just put it on. There's where to start? You got Jason Clarke, James Darcy, Kenneth Baranoff. You have Tony Goldwyn.
Josh Hartnett.
Yeah, Josh Hartnett. Why isn't he up at the top?
Right.
Because he was a big deal.
Alex Wolff.
Yeah. Like, Matt it's Damon, just scrolling through here and picking Josh everyone Peck, out.
Jack Quaid. Like, there was a lot. There was a lot of. Oh,
yeah,
Jack
Quaid.
Yeah. White dudes in this movie.
Yeah. Florence Pugh.
Gustav Skarsgård.
Oh, yeah. That one we were watching, we're like, no way. Like, stop it. Like,
right. Rami Malek.
Dane DeHaan.
Casey Affleck.
Did I say Josh Peck? Oh, yeah. Casey Affleck. Yeah. Damn. Just everyone.
No wonder it costs so much because you have all these people.
Right.
And a small, tiny appearance by Gary Oldman, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Small baby. Like 30 seconds.
Like 30 seconds. Like, 30 seconds, $30 million.
IMDb gave it an 8.4 out of 10. I mean, I agree with that.
84%? You know, 84, yeah.
Well, 8.4 out of 10.
84%.
And then Rotten Potatoes gave it 93% and 91%. You know, and I'm okay with that. But that doesn't mean I want it to be the movie of the century.
Right. Because, like, even on the IMDb page, like, Interstellar has an 8.7.
Right.
Inception has an 8.8. Like, even those were rated higher than the movie of the century.
Hmm.
Which, I'm not trying to shit on it. Still was a good movie. But there's other
right
stuff.
But
Nolan did both of those, yeah, too, so.
What I did like about the movie, like we were talking about, was the scenes, the way it was filmed and shot. It just, like, has, I guess, the way they captured feeling and emotion in the silhouette when they were outside working on it and looking at the bomb, and then the way they handled the explosion when they're testing it.
Right.
Sound alone, reaction alone, it was just, it was incredible.
Yeah.
You really felt the anticipation. You really felt, like,
especially,
you're feeling what's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like,
like, you know how serious the situation is, even though it's already happened.
Right.
Kind of thing.
And it's was interesting because, like, in school, we never really heard or talked about, like, right, their personal aftermath after they, you know, launched these bombs. So it was interesting that, like, you know, he had some, you know, guilt and, like, didn't...
A conscious about it.
And the fact that he, like, before they set the bomb off, they're like, it could just be a really big bomb or it could literally engulf the entire world and kill everybody. Like, it could cause a chain reaction and not stop. And I'm like, and you still did it?
And he still did it?
Like, or we still did it? Like, we still detonated it? Even though it could have destroyed literally everything? Right. It's kind of crazy to think about.
Uh-huh. And that's, like, the untold part of it, you know, that we were looking at. And then it's just, like, this whole process, like, well, he's the responsible of deaths. No, he's responsible for making this thing, and you guys are responsible for dropping it. Like,
yeah.
Like, it's not his fault at all. And that's kind of what it felt like a lot, too, was, like, he was just, like, he felt like it was all his fault, but technically it's not. You just made this thing.
Yeah.
And bad people, well, people are using it for bad things and not knowing their consequences. It's like a child handing them something and telling them not to spill. Well, this is
a big cup.
2-month-year-old person who barely knows how to walk. Or
right.
Not 2 months. You know what I mean?
Right.
I know how babies work. But, you know, it's like a 1-year-old holding a glass of milk. Is he going to drop it?
Probably.
And then, or like accidentally hurting your sibling when you're young.
Right.
Like, I didn't think it was going to happen.
I didn't think.
What'd you think was going to happen?
Swinging the stick at your head was going to hurt.
I didn't think dropping an atomic bomb on people was going to kill an entire, you know what I mean?
Right. And have, you know, lasting radiation and other shitty effects, you know, years later. One thing that I thought, I mean, for me personally, when we were taught about, or we were went through the atom bomb stuff in school, mm-hmm. I literally thought, because it was called the Manhattan Project.
Right.
I literally thought it was like a group of scientists like in a lab in Manhattan.
Right.
And it was kind of through my brain for a loop that there was like these different tracks. They were all over the United States, mm-hmm. but there was this one main place in New Mexico that they were mm-hmm. working on everything. Like maybe if I paid more attention or remembered better, but like the thought of them like in a lab working on it, that's what I thought it was.
Right.
In high school.
Right. And yeah, and that's why these movies these days, like this one in particular, are actually the ones to give us, sure, it may not be, well, that's not what happened. No.
Yeah.
But this is as loosely as way we can tell it without, like, kind of fucking up your day and getting on the wrong side of other people.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we need right now, is some people are more fascinated with this. And I think it's a good thing, too, because it's like, maybe some people will learn from the mistakes that others made.
Right.
Kind of situation. That's kind of how I look at it, and that's why I watch them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Imitation Game, you know? Mm-hmm. Crap, there was another one that I was thinking of, too. But, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Kind of like war-ish movies, but not like Battlefront movies.
Well, just like movies where something was made for a specific purpose and then it was used
mm-hmm.
in a bad way.
Right.
Or used in the wrong way, or the aftermath of using it in general.
Right.
You know? Yeah. And I just think those movies are the ones that are like more secret knowledge or knowledgeable or whatever. And that's what I think people need more of.
Yeah.
So
another thing.
Continue getting great casts, even if it's a funny topic, too, but it's still a part of our history.
Right.
Pain and Gain.
Oh, my God.
They stopped that movie at, like, the third part, and we're just like, yes, this is still based on real events.
This actually happened. Christopher Nolan actually said he deliberately cast recognizable names in all the major roles so people could differentiate between characters.
Okay.
Everyone was kind of a middle-aged white man.
Right.
So, like,
I thought it was because of, like, you needed to see the gravity of how important those people were in that time.
That makes sense, too.
That's what I thought it was. And I was like, that makes sense because, like Josh Peck and what's young Quaid again? Jack Quaid. They had these little miniature roles, but they still spoke.
Yeah.
They still did things. So I was like, that's how significant they were to the project.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, Gary Oldman, when it came to it,
he was just the president. Yeah.
You know, who didn't understand a goddamn thing.
Right.
And that's why I think, I mean, not saying Gary Oldman took a bad character. I'm saying that, like, he probably knew just how intense his character would be just playing that.
Right.
You know, so, like, that's kind of what I thought, but I like yours as well.
Yeah.
Casting important people to.
And another thing that kind of blew my mind, because in my head, Albert Einstein existed like a long time ago.
A lot longer.
Not the same time and place as the atom bomb was being developed.
I kind of forgot too.
I was like, nuh-uh.
I went, oh yeah.
Right. Albert Einstein, you know, was alive in the 1900s.
Durr.
Not, I was just like, see, maybe I need to brush up on my, like, American
history
a little bit.
Someone better give us some movies about it. No, I'm just kidding.
Right.
Movie. American History Part 1.
Right.
Oh, God. And, yep, that's where we start.
Yeah.
Garden of Eden. No, I'm just kidding.
Right.
Oh, Good Omens. We should just watch that.
We can just start from the very, very, very beginning. Finger quotes beginning. You mentioned Jack Quaid. His mm-hmm. character is shown playing bongos multiple times in the film.
Yeah.
In addition to his physics, because he's a scientist, like, uh-huh. the real person played bongos. Like,
he did
his
homework.
It's just random and cool. Like,
Jack Quaid brought him to set and requested that he played him on set.
Right. You have to play.
I'm just kidding.
I also read that Matt Damon is on a break from acting for as a promise to his wife, unless Christopher Nolan calls.
Mm.
And so he called and offered him the role.
I mean, it was a good role.
It was a good role.
You got any trivia?
I'm going through Christopher Nolan severed his relationship with Warner Brothers because he hated their release for Tenet during COVID.
Oh.
He took it to Universal, who agreed to push for cinema release, which I thought was interesting.
Hmm.
The scenes from Oppenheimer's perspective are in color, and the scenes from Strauss's perspective are all in black and white.
Oh, see, I thought that was just like differentiating what's future and what's past and what's present kind of thing.
Yeah, okay. But even, yeah, that's cool. I think I read that like the actual like IMAX film that they filmed it on was like hundreds of miles long.
I thought that was like, what did it say? Not three football fields, but
no, like way.
Like longer?
Yeah. How damn long IMAX happened?
She's Googling it right now.
Heimer film.
We should have had this 11 prepared.
Miles long.
11 miles of film.
So not hundreds. I exaggerated. But still 11 miles of film, like film right. strip? That's nuts.
So hundreds of film strips.
Hundreds of film strips. There you go. His Christopher Nolan's longest running film.
Oh, yeah?
It's a little bit longer than Interstellar.
Oh, okay. Oh, I guess it is by like 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
There's a lot of like not film trivia, but like actual trivia.
Actual trivia.
Yeah.
Oh, about the real life Oppenheimer thing.
Yeah, this is Cillian Murphy's first lead in a Nolan film.
Oh, nice.
Because they've worked together in a lot.
Oh yeah, he was a Scarecrow in the Batman Begins movies.
Mm-hmm.
Or Batman franchise. The Dark Knight franchise, damn it.
Dang, they shot it in 57 days.
57 days, I believe it.
That's like... yeah.
They probably had to build the set, or the town, and the, or the town's there. Just work in that right. town, do everything there, go to the next spot, do everything there. And then half the time it was interview and council rooms.
Right, so there's minimal sets, that's for sure. But yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, Barbenheimer. Two big movies, two big messages. One a part of our history, one a part of our history and part of fiction, but tells a great story to empower yourself. I don't know. You get what I mean.
Right.
They're a part of our history now.
Right. We need to learn from it.
I think I do agree, too, that they even called both these movies together, Barbenheimer. I would even say, like, continue that tradition if you haven't seen either movie, you know, just like, what do you prefer? Some real serious American history, or not American history, but real serious history, world history. And then you want to feel better, then you know to watch Oppenheimer and then Barbie.
Yeah.
If you want the good old laugh, Barbie and then Oppenheimer. If you can do it in one sitting, good for you. We didn't. Go listen to I'm Just Ken for fun, because it gets stuck in your head and it's a funny song.
Yeah.
And another empowering song. I don't know.
I'm Just Ken.
Yeah. You got anything else you want to add?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, we're going to go squeeze our brains.
Two brains.
Going to squeeze them.
Squeeze them.
For juices.
Gross. Goodbye.
Talk to y'all later.